You all have a wonderful weekend, a restful weekend. I sure hope so. God is good all the time, right? All the time? God is good. God is good. Amen, everyone. You know, I look around the world. I watch all of these pastors and preachers go out and they preach and preach and preach. And you know, what I see most commonly throughout the world is that these people do it for themselves. They don't do it necessarily to help the people they're preaching to. Their investment is not in the souls of those who are listening to them. It is in their own selves. Now, what does the devil teach everyone? The devil teaches selfishness. He does not teach selflessness. He doesn't teach one how to do something without expectation for something. Giving because God told you to give. Giving because God told you to help this individual, right? So I want to start my lesson today in Romans chapter 11 about faith, you know, about faith and works, okay? I love this chapter. I love Romans, especially the fact that Paul had to teach in Babylon, had to teach amongst all of these Gentiles and all of these people, right? And he did it very bravely. So here we go, all right? I am in Hebrews. Forgive me. Hebrews chapter 11, faith in action. Okay, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Now understand for a minute. We again see just a very fine line, about paper thin, of the entire light spectrum. We see so little. In fact, there is more in the unseen than there is in the seen, everyone. Every single thing that has ever come into existence came from what people would consider to be nothing. But again, as I have preached before, nothing is something. Zero is a balance between negative and positive, thus even zero is something. Nothing is something, therefore by definition there is no nothing, okay? We see a very thin, paper thin spectrum of light, so how could one doubt the existence of God, and including through sciences, which by the way, some scientists have actually, by trying to disprove God, actually proved his existence. By their sciences. Mind you, every single thing came from the unseen. I've heard these theories that this entire universe was created out of a Big Bang. That this universe was created just suddenly out of nowhere. But you must understand that nowhere is also a place. There is no nowhere, because everywhere is a somewhere. Just as much as the unseen is something. Nothing is something and zero is something. So let me continue on from that point. Okay, so by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did, right? By faith, he was commended as righteous. And what is righteousness, everyone? That is right standing with God. And how do you earn that? By doing what pleases him, by listening to his commandments, by having faith and making him the Lord of your life. Okay, so let's continue on. When God spoke well of his offerings, right? He spoke well of Abel's offerings, but not of Cain's offerings, if you know the story. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. He still speaks from the dead. He could not truly kill his brother, although his brother died. His brother's soul didn't die, did it? By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He was taken while he was alive, if you know that story. He could not be found because God had taken him away, it says. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Now there that is again, just as I had said. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists And by the way, I should also add an extra note on that. By that, he also means without needing proof that he exists. Let's reinforce that. What is faith? It is a blind understanding and a blind belief that he exists. To understand that all we see is that paper-thin slice of light and that he exists well beyond it, okay? So let's continue again. All right, so, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, you've heard me say this before. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, here's Noah, in holy fear, built an ark. What is an ark? It is also another word for an archive or an archive. An archive of what? Whatever God wants you to save, right? So in this case, to save his family. By faith, by his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith, okay? By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. And likewise, by the way, everyone, so did I. I came up here, I'm going to pause again. I came up here to Standing Rock, to a place I did not know, to a people who did not know me. I knew nothing much about them at all, but I knew that they needed help. I came to a place where I knew people needed help, and that was all I knew, was I was being guided here. I came up to a place with one of the hardest tribes in this entire country, the most difficult tribe and the only one still actually at war with the United States, okay? This one never signed a peace treaty with the United States. So I came to a place just like Abraham did. I came to a place where I knew not the people and they didn't know me. And we got to know each other after a time. It took years for me to gain any form of acceptance here. And I've been called every name in the book for being the color white. Believe me, I'm quite used to being persecuted here. Let me continue on from that point. Okay, so he went to a place he would later receive as his inheritance. He obeyed and went even though he did not know where he was going. So he went blindly. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise, right? For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was Sarai, by the way, before she was Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled. He literally granted her the ability to have a child, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful, who had made the promise, okay? And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Now, if you know the story of Abraham, he was told by God from above that his descendants would be as many as the stars in the sky, right? And because he believed, God deemed him as righteous, okay? Because he had faith, he was deemed as righteous before God, all right? Again, that right standing with God because he did what pleased him. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Okay? People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. So again, they didn't covet anything on earth. They were looking up into the skies, looking ahead. They were looking forward to their salvation, these people. All right, and the promises that God promised, which, by the way, he never breaks. Okay? So, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice, okay? Isaac was his son, the one son he had with Sarah. Okay, the one son he had was Sarah because God deemed him as righteous and they had faith. Okay, this was after Hagar had given rise to Ishmael. Okay, when Abraham slept with Hagar, the slave woman, he had Ishmael, right? But Ishmael was not to be the line that carried on his seed, truly. It was going to be by faith through Isaac that line carried on, all right? So he actually had tested Abraham right up until the moment he had the knife above him. He was about to sacrifice his own son. Right on that altar, he was going to burn his own son. He was going to do it because he believed in God that much and he feared him so much. God was testing his true faith. And in that moment, when he saw that Abraham was truly going to do it, he stopped him right at that last moment. The blade almost touched his son. He stopped him right at that moment. You want to know God's perfect timing? Right at that moment, he stopped him and he said, well, stop. He said, look over there, that ram over there. Sacrifice that. And he did. And his son lived because he had faith. Okay, so there's how that story went. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons on his deathbed, right? And worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones, right? By faith, Moses, his parents, hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. He was very special, this one. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Now, mind you, I had to do the same. I had every choice to stay in, let's say, a mansion once upon a time. I chose to stay in houses where it smelled like cat pee. I did not care because it was not for me. Living in a fancy, rich place never felt right to me. I always lived a humble life my entire life. And like this, I chose to live with the people that were in need of help. All of those people out on the streets, I have literally sat with them outside under the sky watching the sunrise from sunset to sunrise, helping them. Okay? So likewise, so did Moses in his own way, all right? He chose to be with not rich people and certainly not in palaces. He chose to be with the people on the ground level. Isn't that what we're here for? We're here to be on the ground level with the people, right? We're here to be at the front line, not to hide in our palaces, not to hide in a mansion, not to hide behind a fortune. No, we give it. We give our fortune to people. That's why we are not rich by man's terms, but we are rich by God's terms, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
We are truly rich by the riches of God because he will provide to those who give everything for his power, for his glory, who give everything because he tells them to out of faith, all right? Giving even their last penny, okay? So let's... I can read this whole chapter, but I want to move on to the rest of my point. Okay, so my point is, it says in the Bible, what good is it if all you do is greet your own people? Okay, what good is it if all you do is greet people you know instead of going out there on the front line and finding those people you don't know and helping them because they were placed in your path? Helping them because God put them there for a reason. They are your neighbors. All of these people around you, doesn't matter who they are, they're your neighbors. Okay, everyone is your neighbor. This is what is taught in the Bible, not just the house next to you, as I've said before. Okay, so we are not here to selectively choose who we are going to help. We are here to help those He's chosen to send us to help, right? We are here to help our neighbors. We are here to help their neighbors. We are here to teach our neighbors to help their neighbors by our example, by God's example. That's where we get our example, right? We don't get our example of ourselves. We get everything from God, because only He can provide everything. We are here to be of service to others, everyone. To serve others, not to be served ourselves. Okay? As service to self is dead, as faith without works is also dead, is it not? What is God gonna say to you when you get to His gates, everyone, and all you've done with your life is selfishness? He will say that you have not lived for Him, but for the devil. No matter how much you have preached His name, preaching in itself isn't enough. Live what you preach, evangelists, all of you. There is another way of saying the same thing, by the way. And you've all heard this, right? This old saying, it says, practice what you preach, or don't preach it at all. Walk away if you yourself are going to fuel the hypocrisy rather than to destroy it by leading a good example for others to follow. But truly, are we here to create followers? The answer is no. We are here to build leaders, every one of us. There are two types of leadership in this world, right? A leader and a dictator. A true leader, okay, builds other leaders. A dictator builds selfishly only a following. A true leader builds an army of leaders to build leaders, to build more leaders. They share their wealth, not just in money, but wisdom and understanding. Power and encouragement and teaching through constructive criticism and constructive examples, okay? A dictator, the other side of the coin, will only lead a group of followers for selfish gain. Look at some of these prosperity preachers in the world, okay? What have they done? Bought yachts and planes and cars and mansions, and they gathered wealth and money off of people who barely have a penny to pay their own light bill, okay? They will gather resources for their own prosperity on the foundation of impoverished people they swindle out of their last dollars. A dictator likes to maintain complete control over everything and everyone around them. They have a Napoleon complex. Do you guys know what that is? A Napoleon complex. Somebody who is a small person inside due to complete self-esteem issues, but has a big truck and a big house and everything to try to make themselves feel powerful, right? Kind of like Napoleon did, right? Although cars and trucks didn't exist back then. All right, so they divide and conquer, which is an act of the art of war. It's a method in the art of war. They divide and conquer in their own followings to create a division so people will give more to them and more to them and more to them. It's not about how much you receive. It's about how much you give. Okay, it's about how much you give to these people. How much are you truly willing to sacrifice for the name of God? By His power, again, by His example, how much faith are you truly willing to have to give to people? But look at these dictators. They divide and conquer. They seek undivided spotlight for themselves and wish to be idolized like gods, kind of like the music industry and Hollywood, right? This is pure definition of satanic teachings, everyone. Service to self instead of service to others. I teach service to others, selflessness, giving, even if it's your last dollar, even if it's your last penny. For the ones whose single dollar they gave to another selflessly, knowing they would have less, is rewarded more than one who refuses to give a dollar having millions because they feel it makes them worth less monetarily. To give even a single dollar to a homeless person worried about only their net value. In God's eyes, everyone, the true value is in selflessness, right? And faith in Him. to give everything they have to help someone less or more deserving, unjudgmentally. There's the key. Because he sent them to you. He sent them to your door. Okay? And you do it out of obedience without grudging. You give because he told you to give, not because you're trying to prove something to other people, not because you're lifting up your own ego, but because he told you to. Because he sent them to your door, you help them, right? As I have always preached, those who will listen are rewarded, and those who don't will burn. Who do you want to be at the gates of heaven? The one he praises for selflessness, everyone. Or one that passes into his wrath and judgment due to selfishness. Okay, doing what the devil taught instead of what God taught. Remember that the devil only teaches selfishness and that God teaches selflessness. This is how you can discern the Holy Spirit. What is it? What is the Spirit telling you to do? Is it telling you to be giving or telling you to be selfish? That's how you know the difference between the Holy Spirit and a demon. Okay? Remember this. Faith without works is dead. Faith is the belief in the unseen without having seen it, without expecting to see direct signs or asking for circus acts from God. Okay? So one should not have to have a direct, visible sign to know he exists, everyone. This is my whole sermon today. The unseen is more than the seen. Is that not enough to believe he exists? Okay? In the sciences of understanding what light itself is and how little we see, that in itself is proof of his existence, okay? We use things like infrared light and UV and all of this stuff. That light comes from somewhere, doesn't it? It doesn't come from the seen. It comes from the unseen, all right? So without demanding miracles from him, having true faith, okay? Without having to see direct signs, the true miracles come to those who don't expect them. Human expectation leads to nothing. Zero. As all good things come from heaven, not man. And through man alone, nothing is possible without God, everyone. In him, everything is possible. For nothing to him is impossible, except the word itself, impossible. All right? Remember, everyone, faith is key to all doors above. Those are your keys to heaven. That is your key to salvation. That is your key to crossing that finish line. Okay? Remember also, he did promise only hardship to those who follow him. For those who feel disheartened by their journey through life because it has been hard, please know that the road itself was meant to be hard. It is called again the straight and narrow for a reason. He promised it would be hard, not that it would be easy. He made a promise you would lose everyone that never understood God, and those who live in sin don't understand God and turn away from those who radiate light. Okay, so know that this is normal. You are not crazy if you're losing people. You're doing the right thing. They were not meant for you. They were meant to teach you. Okay, to teach you the difference, and that was it. And for the time they were there, they were a means to an end themselves. Your end. You're crossing that finish line. The most precious thing in this universe. Your soul and the salvation of it through faith in God. And again, blind faith. Not seeing, but having the faith to know it is there. And having your mind set on the goal of crossing that finish line, okay? Amen, everyone. Amen to that and hallelujah. Okay?
Amen.
I love all of you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I want everyone to begin to thank God for the salvation.